With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast with Mike Tagliere, and I'm Bobby Sylvester. If you're wondering what that music is, I'm pretty sure plenty of you are because we get loads of tweets and emails about it. The song is Dissolve by Abzafacto. Abzafacto has a ton of great music. They were kind enough to let us use Dissolve for the podcast, so please support their work. And today we've got a start sit episode for you where we're going to give one non-obvious start of the week at each position, a sit of the week, and talk about some other players at each position on the fringe of whether or not you should start or sit them. Then at the end, we're going to throw together a few bold predictions. Tags, how's it going, man?
It's going. There's a few things. Obviously, one, it's funny. I ordered, you know, you're a nerd when you get excited about ordering a chair mat. Like, I obviously working from home. So I bought this floor mat when we first moved in, and it's on this thick carpet, and it keeps moving. So I apparently didn't buy one with a long enough, like it digs into the carpet. So I ordered a new floor mat. I'm happy about that. And I also, I remembered before we started the show today that I had to brag about my win over you on draft this week because
oh, I didn't even notice.
Oh, I didn't. I usually don't. You're usually the one that brings it up to me. But yeah, do you remember I had Antonio Brown and Julio Jones?
No, I did notice. I just, you know, didn't want to talk about it. I was hoping you wouldn't notice for once.
No, actually, it's funny because Julio Jones almost beat your team by himself. So
I know
it was a good, it was a good week to be me.
Yeah, that's all we need to say about that before we get into the meat of the show. By the way, I'm happy for you on the chair mat. That actually is really exciting because I felt that a couple months ago, and I was really excited to get mine as well. Anyway, I want to touch on this Eli Manning ordeal really quick. Like, I know you think he's severely overrated, and I do too, but this one's the wrong move, right? I mean, he's the face of your franchise. He has been for a dozen years. Allow the man some dignity. Like, you've got two wins. What's going to change with Geno Smith? He's been getting crushed all season by the pass rush and no one to throw the ball to, no one to hand the ball off to. The defense isn't even trying. It's a disgrace. And Eli Manning's just getting jobbed here. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Giants fans.
Yeah, no, I talked with John Hansen on his show this morning about that and saying that I felt like the Giants handled it the wrong way. Now, is it to say that Eli Manning should be starting and that, you know, you shouldn't give, you know, Davis Webb some opportunities? No, I really feel like they had to find out what they have in Davis Webb going into the 2018 draft. But with that being said, the way they're going about it is all wrong. One, going to Geno Smith. We know who Geno Smith is. Like, as much as people don't want to say that we don't know exactly who he is, we know who he is. He is not your franchise quarterback, so what are we doing here? If he's backup worthy, we know that. That's fine. But why not, if they're making this move, if they really, it's all about future and like what gives them the best chance, why not go to their rookie Davis Webb, the one that they drafted in the third round? If they weren't going to do that, then why even draft him? Because I mean, picking up Geno Smith, it's a joke the way they did handle it. Now, Eli Manning, he's in a position to fail every single week. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, you know, he's had hard luck with injuries to the wide receivers. He's been missing his top three wide receivers recently. His offensive line has played poorly all year long. The run game hasn't gotten going just until late. The defense has been terrible. So, you know, with that being said, I think Geno Smith and Davis Webb are both set up to fail in this job too. So I think it was a poor way to handle it with five games still left in the season. I felt like if you wanted to see those guys in action, put them in the second half. Just say, you know what, Eli, we're kind of losing this game. We're just going to give them kids a shot. And I know that they gave Eli the opportunity, you know, him, they asked him if he wanted to keep his game streak, but that they were going to play the kids. And he just said, you know, just go ahead and play them. So stand up move by him. But it's just sad the way it kind of all went down.
You know, and as is the case with any time I say anything negative about any New York sports teams, I got just slammed on Twitter. I just retweeted like two tweets about, you know, Eli Manning not being a Hall of Fame quarterback, and everyone came back at me saying, oh, he's a definite Hall of Fame quarterback. Just listen to these, okay? Chris Towers of CBS Sports tweeted out, Eli Manning has never once had a season with a higher quarterback rating than Philip Rivers' career average.
Mm-hmm. I believe all that. And that's why people, when they've told me that Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer and that Tony Romo's not, I said that it's a joke.
It's the absolute opposite. Romo's a lock. Manning shouldn't even sniff the Hall of Fame. And I'm not a Cowboys fan. Like, don't accuse me of that or anything. Right. I mean, look, I love Eli Manning. I root for him. But to say he's a Hall of Fame quarterback or even close to it, it's a joke. And everyone outside of New York thinks so. I get it. He's got two titles, but he didn't carry them to those two titles. Nor does that make him better than Dan Marino. If Joe Flacco won another Super Bowl this year, would he suddenly be a Hall of Fame lock or even a candidate? The answer is no.
No.
He'd still be outside the top 10 active quarterbacks, same as Eli Manning has always been. Their career touchdown rates, interception rates, yards per attempt are nearly identical, but Eli happened to play with some really impressive defenses. I mean, if you put Philip Rivers, Tony Romo, Carson Palmer, Matt Ryan, or even Jay Cutler on those teams, they'd probably at least have two Super Bowls.
Yeah, well, if you look at, so Eli Manning, I've ragged on him because he's unpredictable for fantasy football. He's been unpredictable forever. And I said, when he gets on a hot streak, you know when to play him. He really got hot at like the perfect time during those playoff stretches. And he played well through the playoffs, but he wasn't like, he didn't carry them. Like, he didn't go Tom Brady on defenses. He didn't do that, but he played well enough to win a Super Bowl. And I will never take that away from him. He played well enough to win two Super Bowls. He beat Tom Brady twice. I get that. That the win-loss argument for quarterbacks is a really, really bad one. It's an argument that you can't win on either side but the thing is, we watch the games. We know that Eli Manning, he was a slightly above average quarterback. That's basically what he was.
And that's what he is.
And that's the thing is, people saying that they're tanking now. I mean, Eli, they won, what, two games with Eli Manning? Like, if you wanted to lose, you might as well just keep him in there, right? I mean, this isn't about, that's the thing. They shouldn't just turn this the way saying that, they shouldn't have turned it trying to say, this is what gives us the best chance to win. No, this is a move for our future. We have to find out what we have in the young kids. That's why they're going to play. We are giving up on the season. We're waving the white flag. It's just the way that they're handling it is just poorly. Just based the same way that they've handled Ben McAdoo. He should have been fired by now.
Let me say this, though. If Eli Manning was a starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos this year, with Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas instead of who's he passing it to now, Roger Lewis, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Broncos, I think, would be in the playoffs. Eli Manning can still get it done. I think he's got some talent. I think he's got a future in the NFL. I just don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, people.
Agree. I agree with you 100%. I think that he can do a team some good. I think he is still above average. I think he's better than people think he is at this point. He's just in a position to fail. He goes through these spurts. But yes, I agree with you. He can help some other team, and his career is definitely not over.
Okay, before we give out our start of the week at quarterback, I want to remind you all we're doing another giveaway. You can get a year's upgrade to our Hall of Fame package at fantasypros.com. That's our top package. It comes with all the goodies. It's going to help you a ton, win your leagues and DFS. If you want to crack at winning this thing, just take 30 seconds to subscribe and review the podcast on iTunes. Then send a screenshot to us at contest@fantasypros.com. We're going to draw a name at the end of next week for the Hall of Fame upgrade. Okay, Tag, start of the week time, quarterback, you're up.
All right, so I know a lot of people are going to like say, what? Do we even know if he's playing? Yeah, he's going to play, and yes, he's going to do well. I'm talking about Jameis Winston going into Green Bay to play against the Packers. And I understand that it's never ideal to play someone coming off injury at the risk of re-injury, whatever the case. You know, Jameis wasn't great before he was eventually pulled from games. But against the Packers, it really doesn't matter. Outside of Joe Flacco and Mike Glennon, there have been zero quarterbacks who have scored at less than 13.1 fantasy points against them. And I understand that's kind of a lower floor, but when you kind of look at the Bucks team overall and you think that, I mean, they can't run the ball. They might not even have Doug Martin this week. That might be an upgrade to their run game, but we're talking about a Packers team that does not have the cornerback talent to handle what the Bucks do well. And that's throw the ball to Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson. The weather is definitely concerning. That's something we have to pay attention to. But as of now, I know that in Chicago, and Green Bay is just north of us, in Chicago, it's supposed to be in the 40s or 50s. So the weather is not bad in the Midwest yet. So go ahead, play Jameis Winston, expect him to do well. The three quarterbacks who have thrown for 330 or more yards against the Packers have been Roethlisberger, Breeze, and Stafford. All guys who can sling it around the field, all guys that have that gunslinger mentality. So I think Jameis Winston is a high reward, like low-end quarterback one this week, and one that I'd rather play over someone like Ben Roethlisberger.
His ECR, by the way, ECR is expert consensus ranking. So over 100 experts give us their rankings. We compile them all together. That's what ECR is. Jameis Winston's ECR this week tags is number 21. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got him all the way up at 16, so I like him a lot, but are you starting him ahead of Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, I would start him over Roethlisberger. Tyrod Taylor, I still have a spot or two higher. Okay. They're in that same group, though. And if you're a team that's looking for a game that is potentially a 30-point game because you're a massive underdog, I would rather play Jameis Winston over Tyrod. I think Tyrod's ceiling is limited, but I think his floor is raised. And the part of the reason I think that Jameis Winston might be down at number 21 in the ECR is because I think a lot of people I want to say that they still had Ryan Fitzpatrick in a lot of the rankings. So I think some people are still ranking as if Jameis Winston isn't going to play.
Yeah.
I'm on, like they've said this week that he's back to practice and they expect him to play. So yeah, against Green Bay, yeah, this is the way you move the ball.
You never hear of a quarterback, you know, practicing and then he doesn't play. Like if a quarterback is practicing, he's going to go. And you're right, Ryan Fitzpatrick is number 23 in ECR. So I bet he does bump up to around 15, 16 where I have him. And, I don't think he's a bad start. Like, look at this. Okay. He got hurt against the Saints. He got hurt against the Cardinals. Besides that, he had one bad game against Carolina in a tropical storm. 26 points. 18 points, 26 points, 18 points. That's what he did in every other game this season. 40 passes, 38 passes, 46 passes, 44 passes, 38 passes. He's got a nice floor. He's got a nice ceiling. And I love the matchup against Green Bay. So as long as the weather's not bad, yeah, I think he's right in the conversation tags.
Yeah, for sure. And that's my safety that I have around recommending him to our listeners is that it's Jameis Winston. He is the future of that franchise. They need him healthy. Their season, I mean, it's kind of been derailed. You know, they're not the team that they expected to be. But at the same time, they would not be bringing Winston back if he wasn't at or near 100%.
Yeah. Okay, my start of the week is Case Keenum. Most people have probably seen the Vikings record, but still have no idea how good Case Keenum's been playing. I picked the Vikings for a bye this preseason. I thought their season was over, though, when Sam Bradford went down. But Keenum, seriously, I think he has what it takes to win a Super Bowl. He's been getting it done in fantasy, too. 22 fantasy points per game over his last four is top three in football. And he seems to be getting better and better every week. I think you can rely on him in most matchups at this point because he has the best receiver duo in all of football. So yeah, I'm starting him against a mediocre Falcons secondary this week, Tags.
Yeah, I have no issue with Case Keenum this week. I'm having trouble ranking him over some guys like Stafford, Matt Ryan, but it's close where I'm debating it. Like, it's still early in the week, still doing research. But what I can tell you is that in my primer, I actually said America's favorite quarterback seems to have a grip on this starting gig. But honestly, there seems to be a very, very short leash with him where if he struggles at all, like if he struggles for a half and they fall behind two touchdowns, it wouldn't shock anyone if they threw Teddy Bridgewater in there. It wouldn't at all.
And you're saying Case Keenum's America's favorite quarterback?
Yeah, that's what I'm calling him from now on. Because he's like the darling right now. Like Twitterverse loves Case Keenum. Everybody says, I told you so. And like the thing is, it's crazy where he went from last year to where he is now. And that's the thing. I don't have an issue with him as a streamer this week, but he does have capped upside. The reason I say that is because the Falcons, they're allowing just 228 passing yards per game. Only one quarterback has thrown more than 283 yards against them. And that was Aaron Rodgers, who has really done it. against basically everybody.
Yes.
And no quarterback has thrown for more than two touchdowns against them. So I do think he's a solid floor quarterback, because I think Jerick McKinnon, this is a matchup that suits him a little bit better than Latavius Murray. We have a matchup against the Falcons, a team that can score points, kind of go back and forth with them. So I actually like the Case Keenum call. I just think that he has a little bit of a limited ceiling.
I thought America's favorite quarterback was Jimmy G, man.
It might be. I mean, those two are close. I mean, we might have a love fest for Jimmy G after the Bears game this week. It depends on how he does. And if he does bad, people are just going to say he was a system quarterback, and they'll say that, even though it's just one game.
Yeah, like Brian Hoyer. Yeah. Brian Hoyer was awesome, and then he got traded, and what happened? Absolutely nothing. I don't think that's the case with Jimmy G, though.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think he's actually going to be good. I like it when quarterbacks sit behind someone that can teach them, and Tom Brady, obviously, one of the game's best ever. So to learn from him, learn from Belichick, and everything that goes on in New England, it's a really good thing, and now playing for Kyle Shanahan, obviously someone who turned around Matt Ryan's career. So yeah, I definitely have faith in Jimmy G. I don't know if it's this year, but down the road, for sure, I think he's a good dynasty quarterback.
So for his sit of the week tags, I wasn't even going to mention Dak Prescott because it's, you know, he's cold right now. And Matthew Stafford against the Ravens, I thought he was a pretty obvious one. But you're saying that you might not rank Keenum ahead of Stafford. I want to hear why you'd consider starting Stafford against the Ravens.
So when you look at the Ravens and their schedule, it's been really weak. They have yet to play a top 10 fantasy quarterback on their schedule. And that's something. They've only played one quarterback that actually ranks inside the top 18, and that's Ben Roethlisberger. So thinking about that, 11 games they've played against all but one quarterback who's outside the top 18 fantasy quarterbacks. That tells me that the competition's been extremely weak. When you look at what the Ravens do well, they stop the run. You know, the Lions have no ground game to get going against anybody, let alone the Ravens. So when you think about the ways that the Lions are going to have to move the ball in this game, it's through the air, through the short passing game. The Ravens have started to allow some more through the air. I mean, we saw Devontae Adams go for, I want to say, what was it, over 100 yards against the Ravens the other week. Last week, DeAndre Hopkins is going for 100 yards against them. So they're starting to allow things through the air. I just think that Stafford in this passing game is just on fire. And I mean, it's not an ideal matchup. I still have Stafford as outside of QB1 range. I have him as my QB14 right now, but that's right around where Keenum's at. So it's close between those guys.
Yeah, ECR has Stafford at number 16. I've got him down at 20, but you're convincing me a little bit. I'm looking at the game log here. His past seven games, he has no less than 17 fantasy points. That's really good.
He's been really good. And that's the thing. It basically comes down to attempts here. I don't see any way that he throws the ball fewer than 40 times against the Ravens, just with the way that they're not going to be able to move the ball on the ground against them. It's in Baltimore, so it's going to be tougher to run there. And again, I'm not expecting a massive game, but 250, 275 and a touchdown, sure.
By the way, I mean, there's this knock against Stafford that he does really bad against good teams. In that streak I just mentioned, Carolina, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Minnesota. I mean, he's been tearing it up even against good teams. So it kind of makes sense, Tags.
He just doesn't win very much against good teams. But yeah. I don't know if I would consider the Ravens a really good team. I mean, they just played a game against the Tom Savage-led Texans, and it went down to like kind of the wire.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, maybe Tom Savage is America's favorite quarterback.
Oh, God. America's most hated quarterback, maybe.
Okay, Tags, who is your sit of the week?
All right, so instead of me going obvious and saying Ben Roethlisberger because he's playing on the road at Cincinnati, that's a team that he's really, really struggled against. Instead of saying Derek Carr, who's playing without Amari Cooper, without Michael Crabtree. And by the way, I do want to mention before I forget that Amari Cooper, some people are like, well, he get cleared from the concussion in time to play. It's not just a concussion. Apparently doctors like who basically they work for some other companies, they watch tape and they determine what an injury is. The Raiders have said that Amari Cooper has an ankle injury, but these doctors are saying it looked like it was of the high ankle variety. So if it's a high ankle sprain, we might not see Amari Cooper for the rest of the fantasy season. We don't know. Those things take anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks to take care of. So don't depend on Amari Cooper this week. But instead of saying Roethlisberger and Carr, I'm going with Matt Ryan. The issue with Matt Ryan is that he doesn't throw the ball very much, and he's been very efficient, but he's finished with more than 35 attempts just twice all season. That's not good. Against the Vikings, that's a big issue because there's been just three quarterbacks who have finished with more than 15 points against them, and every single one of those quarterbacks threw the ball at least 35 times. Even then, just one of those quarterbacks finished with more than 17 points, and that was Kirk Cousins, who ran for two touchdowns. So it's through 12 weeks. We're now just there's been just three quarterbacks to throw more than one touchdown against the Vikings, knowing that it's really, really hard to put Matt Ryan without, you know, crazy efficiency, and you have to be efficient against the Vikings. He's just outside of my QB1 territory this week.
I'll say this about Matt Ryan. Like, I agree. I don't love the matchup, and I'm glad you mentioned Big Ben, because I've got him six spots lower than ECR at QB number 15, and I've got Derek Carr all the way down at number 20. Like, with no one to pass to, I see no reason to consider starting Derek Carr. But with Matt Ryan, I know he's not passing a lot, but if you watch the film, I think he's still one of the top two or three quarterbacks in football. I mean, obviously Aaron Rodgers is hurt, but behind Tom Brady, I'm not sure who I'd rather have on my real football team. Matt Ryan's playing great football again. I understand the fantasy points are there because he's not throwing that much, but, you know, last six games, 17, 19, 19, 15, 17, 16 fantasy points. That's a nice floor, and he is throwing the ball at least 30 times pretty much every single game. So, you know, I think he's got a nice floor, and because of that, I'd be willing to start Matt Ryan. But you're right. I mean, it is a scary matchup. So rather than him being like number five, like he would be most weeks, I'm moving him down to like number 10 or 11.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
My sit of the week is for the same reason. I just don't think Tyrod Taylor is going to get enough work. I mean, I think he's a quality top 20 quarterback in the NFL and deserves to be a starter. I think he's a top 12 fantasy quarterback most weeks, but the Bills just aren't using him enough. 24 passes per game over the last three games is not going to cut it. Just 12 fantasy points per game, despite some easy opponents lately. You know, and then there's a threat that he loses his job in the middle of the game. So Tyrod Taylor, for me, is outside my top 14. And I know it's a pretty good matchup, but there's no safety with Tyrod this week.
Yeah, no, Tyrod, that's the thing, is I think he's going to come with a rushing floor. Like, when you think about what the Patriots do, they run a lot of that man coverage, and ever since they've switched to that, they've played really, really well. So that's the problem, right? But he doesn't have receivers. He's never relied on them to score his fantasy points. The Patriots do allow points to the tight end position, which is why him and Charles Clay should probably hook up in this matchup. I just think he comes with a higher floor than most just because of his rushing abilities. Again, playing man coverage as a defense, what happens is the defenders are chasing the wide receivers, the tight ends around, and then they're stuck with their backs turned to the quarterback. Therefore, a mobile quarterback is going to be able to take off running unless you stick a spy on him, which is possible, but then you're worrying about LeSean McCoy catching passes out of the backfield. So there's just a lot of issues with doing that. That's why I think Tyrod Taylor, his floor is okay. But again, if you're looking for someone that you need a ceiling, I would rather start someone like Jameis Winston over him.
Tags, there's two other quarterbacks I want to ask you about. Brett Hundley, if you look at who he's faced, Detroit, Chicago, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, they're all top 10 pass defenses. This week, he gets a bottom five pass defense in Tampa. And, you know, Hundley was pretty good last week, so I'm not starting him. But I think if you need somebody, you can stream him. He's a top 15, 16 quarterback this week.
I can't trust him. I don't. Okay. I mean, the thing is like, did he have a better game? I mean, on a stat sheet, he did, but that game, did you know, fun fact, is 25% of his yards came through the air. The other 75% were done by his receivers after the catch. Brett Hundley, the game plan was good. They had to get the ball out quick because the Pittsburgh Steelers bring a lot of pressure. And looking at the matchup this week, it's a good one against Tampa Bay, but I don't have faith in the quarterback. That's the problem, is just like, I don't know who I would start him over. I wouldn't start him over Bortles this week. I honestly would start Trevor Siemian over Brett Hundley. I think Trevor Simeon's matchup against Miami is a really, really good one. Oh, and by the way, breaking news as we're live here. As I said, Jameis Winston will start. Dirk Cutter just announced. So that's official, which like that's kind of what everything pointed to. So I just can't trust Brett Hundley outside of like two quarterback leagues.
Okay. And the other guy I want to ask you about is Marcus Mariota. Like he was horrible last week, but he goes against the Texans, so he's a must start, right?
I would agree. The thing is, it's so funny because like whenever I look at the Texans and I'm like, oh my god, they've been brutal. Like if you just take away the matchups against Joe Flacco and Kevin Hogan, like they've been allowing ridiculous amounts of points ever since week five. Like you go through every matchup, and then Marcus Mariota seems to fit in that conversation every single time. Like every single time you start talking about, well, all these quarterbacks did it, but the only ones who didn't were Mariota and Savage or something like that. Like he's been in that conversation, and that's the concern. But with that being said, if you are not going to play him against Houston this week, you might as well drop him because like this is the best matchup he is going to get. The Texans have zero ability to get after the quarterback. He's had plenty of time. They don't have cornerbacks. They don't have the wide receivers, there's no cornerbacks in Houston to cover their wide receivers. It seems like Rishard Matthews might come back this week. There's just so many reasons here. The run game's not going. Mariota may not be the quarterback that everybody expected. And that,
yeah, he's not.
Yeah, and there were warning signs of that. You know, the touchdown rate. I know you and I talked about it this offseason. I was saying that there was no way that Marcus Mariota could repeat what he did in 2016, that he would need more volume, which was unlikely because of the run game. But it turns out that the run game not working is hurting his production. So, I mean, he's right there with Dak. They're risky, but I still believe that both of them have the potential to finish as a QB1.
And Eric Decker falling apart, Corey Davis being hurt, the offensive line just not being as good. I mean, I think Mariota's a long-term franchise player, but I don't think he's ever going to be a star. You mentioned, though, that this is his easiest matchup. I disagree. I think this is his third easiest matchup in the next 3 weeks. He's going to Arizona, who's been horrible against the pass besides Patrick Peterson, and then at San Francisco. So if you're looking for a quarterback right now, the next 3 weeks, Mariota's a QB1 each week.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you look at it, and so obviously Flacco fell flat on his face, didn't do anything. But before that, Gabbert, 19.6 points. Goff, 26.5. Brissett, 21.5. Russell Wilson, 35.1. Alex Smith, 26.9. Like, you go down the list, and it's nonstop fantasy points bleeding out of there. It's like multiple touchdowns in every game to, you know, quarterbacks not named Joe Flacco, so... Mariota didn't do well in their first meeting, but that was also back when they had J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus on their defense. So that obviously things changed from that point forward. So, yeah, I have Mariota in my top 12 quarterbacks this week.
All right, Tag, start of the week at running back, and I'm going Devontae Booker. The new offensive coordinator gave him more carries than C.J. Anderson on Monday Night Football. And really, that's all I need to be sold that he's going to be a decent start against the Dolphins, who, as you know, have just been getting destroyed the past month. I mean, granted, Booker didn't post great stats or anywhere close to it, but he did have a touchdown overturned. Otherwise, I think most people would consider him a must start this week.
I think a lot of people are going to be along your mindset. And I do think that Booker is the preferred option, I guess, over C.J. Anderson, just because he's involved a little bit more in the passing game. But it seems like the move with the offensive coordinator didn't really change anything. That's still a timeshare. It's still an offensive line that's blocking like crap. There's just so many things going on. And Trevor Siemian, you know, taking over in relief, he did look a little bit better. He doesn't check down to his running backs very often. Like, we learned that last year, and we learned at the beginning of this year, he just doesn't check down a lot. A lot of those targets are going to go to the tight ends. They're going to go to Benny Fowler in the slot. They're going to go to the two big wide receivers. So I don't love Booker. I just hate the team. Like, it kind of feels like the Seahawks to me at this point, where it's just like, I don't want to start anybody from them teams, even if it's a great matchup. And I don't consider this like, it is a great matchup. I should take that back because it's the Dolphins. But yeah, I think there's others. I mean, that I would probably play over him that I think people might have on their roster. But I mean, again, I could be wrong here. If Booker gets the carries, sure. Definitely, but I just think it's too much of a timeshare.
That's fair. So who's your start of the week, Tex?
So I didn't think I'd have to address this one, but I mean, he's falling out of the top 24 in ECR last I checked. I've had people ask me on Twitter if they're playing him, and Jerick McKinnon, you're playing him. Like, put him in the game. Here's the touch count over the last 5 weeks. Latavius Murray has 91 touches. 89 of those 91 touches have been on the ground, carries. He's only caught two balls. Jerick McKinnon has 82 touches, so nine less, but he's caught 17 passes, rushed 65 times. It's easy to see how this game is playing out against the Falcons. It's going to be kind of one where they're not going to be able to grind it out on the ground. That's just not the game that they're going to be able to play in Atlanta. So when, you know, the Falcons, what they do, what they really lack the most, they can't stop pass-catching running backs. Pass-catching running backs, 71 receptions through running backs through 11 games. That is ridiculous. I can't even...
It's amazing.
That's a lot of receptions. And knowing that Latavius Murray has only caught two balls in the last 5 weeks, that obviously tells you where this is going to go. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen both have good matchups. I'm not taking anything away from them. But there's been just one running back that has totaled more than 76 yards on the ground against the Falcons. Everything is coming through the air. So I'm playing McKinnon as an RB2 this week, especially if you're in a PPR league.
Yeah, he's an RB2 for me as well. And it's funny that you cut it off at the last 5 weeks, because the 2 weeks before that, he had 21 and 22 touches. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's only been the starter. I don't know if he's technically the starter, but he's only been playing for half the season. And he has as many top five running back performances as Kareem Hunt and LeSean McCoy.
It's crazy. I didn't even know that, but I did stop it because it seemed like 5 weeks was like fair to say, okay, Latavius Murray's beginning to get more work. I want to be fair to him. And let's take a look at when he started to get more work and what kind of timeshare this is. And you can kind of see, I think I was talking to Scott Fish about this, or he posted something saying that basically it was easy to see what type of game it was going to be, you know, a couple weeks ago. It was Latavius Murray game. He's like, a game like this, though, it's going to be more towards Jerick McKinnon. They're going to need him to work on the turf, everything about him. He's an agile running back. They'll get him in some space. It's a perfect matchup for Jerick McKinnon this week.
Now, before we do our sits of the week at running back, I want to tell you all about the SeatGeek app. I'm having a hard time shopping for people this year for Christmas. Maybe I'm spending too much time watching football to know what everyone wants. But there's one thing I know. Everyone loves tickets every year, whether it's sporting events, comedy, concerts, or theater. And I used to always spend a long time searching around the other sites to finally find a decent value. Now that I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone, it's super easy to find the tickets they want. I can be anywhere and with just a few taps can instantly find the best values across multiple ticket sites. SeatGeek saves you time and money by grading the value of every seat across multiple sites. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. That way you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASYPROS today. That's promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Download the app today. Okay, so sit of the week tags, who are you going with?
All right, my sit of the week is DeMarco Murray. The only thing saving DeMarco Murray right now from being like basically completely benched is the fact that he's involved in the passing game. If not for that, he'd be benched for Derrick Henry, who's been outplaying him since week 10 of last year. If you go back and kind of take a look at it, DeMarco Murray, I think it was Warren Sharp on Twitter was saying something in regards to he charts in a successful carry rate. So how many percent of their carries are considered a positive, whether it be, you know, runs for 4 yards, runs for 2 yards to get a first down, scores a touchdown. There's a certain percentage. And it was like 3 times the amount of successful plays when they run Derrick Henry. Even if Henry's yards per carry is just slightly better, when you look at Murray on the grand scale of things, there's been 2 long runs that he's had this year. And if you go back, I think it was week 10 last year, actually, against Green Bay, he had a 75-yard touchdown run untouched. Everybody's like, you can't just remove those plays, Mike. No, you can't remove the plays. But what you can say is that he's not getting it done on a consistent basis. He's relying on that big play or the touchdown in order to score fantasy points. And that's a really...
Well, here's the thing. Like, Henry's faster than DeMarco Murray. If he would have been in that play, he would have gone 75 yards untouched.
Yes, that's very true as well. But that's the thing is just like DeMarco Murray, he doesn't have it anymore. Like when you watch him run, he doesn't have it. He's missing holes. He's not as fast. He can't get to the edge anymore. He doesn't have the offensive line that he had back in Dallas. Even the Titans offensive line this year isn't blocking like they did last year, but still,
yeah.
I mean, I mentioned this last week on the show and not many people realize that is that this is ever since week 6, this has basically been a timeshare. DeMarco Murray's had 73 carries. Derrick Henry's had 71. The issue is that Murray has 31 receptions on the season, whereas Henry has just 7. So he's involved in the passing game, but against Houston, this is not a matchup where he's going to get anything done unless he scores. And you know, there's a lot of running backs, kind of like Jonathan Stewart, who fall into that territory.
Yeah, Murray's my sit of the week as well. I did not even consider anyone else because why would anyone play DeMarco Murray against the second best run defense in the league after he's posted back-to-back weeks with 10 or fewer rushing yards? I can't wrap my mind around how bad that is. 19 yards against Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. I mean, neither of these are very good run defenses, and all he could get was 19 yards, Tags.
It's a name. I mean, that's the thing is like people get attached to the name and they know he's produced for so long. They probably spent a first or a second round pick to draft him outside of my advice. but in all seriousness, it's a name. And what you get attached to that name because he did so well for so long. But when you really break it down and look at it, he's kind of like Jonathan Stewart. And he's got someone on his tail that's so much better than him and Derrick Henry. Yeah. So it's only been a matter of time. So I think it's coming.
By the way, this is not me advising you to start Derrick Henry this week. Don't start him either. Houston just crushes running backs. And Derrick Henry's only going to get 8 to 10 carries. So I wouldn't start Henry either. Is there anyone else on the fringe you want to talk about, Tags?
I did want to mention that Adrian Peterson should be started this week. I have him as a strong RB2. I was looking at the ECR earlier, and I want to say he was closer to the RB2, RB3 conversation. But if you're you're sitting there looking at Peterson, it's been a very up and down year. It's either he's had 79 or more yards or he has had 29 or less yards. There's been no in between for him. Against the Rams, this matchup is so good. The Rams are one of the worst run defenses in the league and have allowed a league high 7 running backs to score 20 or more PPR points against them. Think about that. 7 running backs. We've only played 11 games, guys.
That's amazing. That's a really good stat. Tags, I've had a lot of people say, like, what do I do with Kareem Hunt? I can't start him anymore. He's probably still an RB1, right?
I have him as a high-end RB2 this week. It's a tough matchup against the Jets, but here's the thing, and I understand why people are mad at him and why they can't let go and why they're taking it much worse than it actually should, is because of how he started the season. If he didn't start the season so hot, they wouldn't be looking at him the way they do. This is a guy that has still scored. He has scored its 9.8 or more PPR points in all but one game. The issue, and the reason that people are having difficulty right now, myself included, in trusting him a whole lot, is because he's had 3+ matchups the last 3 weeks against Dallas, against the Giants, and against the Bills. These are all struggling teams, teams that can't really seem to stop anybody, and he's done nothing. The play calling has been atrocious. He's had like four carries in each of the last two games in the first halves. I don't know what Andy Reid's doing, but we saw a similar thing with Spencer Ware last year. You know, we've talked about that and the fact that maybe teams are just adjusting to Andy Reid and he's not doing something to adjust back. People are blaming it on Alex Smith. They're blaming it on the offensive line. They're saying that Kareem Hunt still, you know, his metrics are still good and he's still breaking tackles. Okay, well, all that stuff's fine, but until it starts adding fantasy points onto his score, nobody cares. And that's basically what we have to figure out. Is it going to lead to more fantasy points for him against the Jets this week? It's not a great matchup, but it should be positive game script. And he should go ahead and score, you know, his 6 to 8 standard points and, you know, 10 to 13 PPR points. That's just kind of the way that things go. And so, yeah, he's still startable. You're still starting him. There's not many running backs in the league who can say that in 10 out of 11 games, they scored at least 9.8 PPR points.
Yeah. I mean, you look at standard leagues, too. He's got 7 of 11 games with double digits. Do you know how many LeSean McCoy has this year? 5.
Yeah.
No one's saying, hey, should I bench LeSean McCoy? I don't understand why everyone is giving up on Kareem Hunt. I mean, he's still a top 3 running back so far this year.
Yeah, that's crazy. That goes to show how great his first 3 weeks were. But by the way, the fact that he's had all those weeks with double-digit points, all those PPR points, the fact that he hasn't scored since week 3 makes it even that much more impressive. So when he starts finding the end zone, those numbers are going to be back. You're going to be starting him as an RB1. So, you know, the games that we're playing this week weren't played last week. So we have to kind of move forward. Again, there are positive signs with Hunt. This matchup isn't great, but it's hard to find a workhorse in the NFL today, and he's one of them.
Yeah, he's been getting over 100 yards 7 times this season, at least 50 every single game. Except for one last week. I mean, there's a bunch of guys in wide receiver that we're going to be talking about where it's like, man, he's got 50 straight yards 3 weeks in a row. Like, you should flex him this week. Are you telling me like you want to start Kareem Hunt over those guys, people?
Yeah, that's where I'm at. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm not concerned, because I am, because no matter what we're seeing, no matter what the intangibles are, no matter what the excuse is, if there's not fantasy points going up on the board, it's a problem. And yeah, that's the concern. So I do understand why people out there are concerned, but not to the point where I would bench them.
All right, Tag. Lightning round here. Start or sit? Alex Collins.
Start.
Start. Rex Burkhead.
Start.
Fringe, but yeah, start. Okay. Orleans Darkwa.
That one's risky. That one's iffy. He's on the edge. I'm not opposed to him. I still think he's a start against Oakland.
Yeah, he's a flex start against Oakland. He is. Mm-hmm. Kenyon Drake against Denver.
Start.
Yeah, start, because he's going to get 20 touches, man, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, that's basically where I'm at with it, is that Denver's not the same defense they were last year either. They're not even close. So yeah, I'll go Drake with those guaranteed touches.
Latavius Murray.
He's a start, but he's just a low-end RB2, high-end RB3.
He's a flex for me, yeah. He's an RB3. Alfred Morris.
Sit, if possible. Even though it's a revenge game. It's a revenge game. Just remember that.
Yeah, I'm not really too excited about it. I'm sitting him too. I'd consider him for the flex. Like, he's better than if you've got Frank Gore or Jay Ajayi.
How about DeMarco Murray?
Oh, DeMarco Murray, big time sit.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. Would you start Alfred Morris over DeMarco Murray?
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'd start Alfred Morris way over DeMarco Murray. I mean, I've got Alfred Morris at like 28. I've got DeMarco Murray at 41.
Holy cow, you moved Murray down even further than I did. Props to you, dude. I need to think about moving him down even 19 further.
19 yards in 2 weeks, man.
I know. And every time I stopped trusting him, like that game that he scored three touchdowns, I didn't have him in my lineup.
Yeah, good point. That's scary. Okay, 41's a little too low, I think.
Yeah, it's in one of my dynasty leagues. I've had him, and I tried to trade him all year. I tried to trade him before the season started because I figured this would happen, and nobody wanted to bite on it, so I'm stuck with him.
Amir Abdullah.
Sit.
Sit against Baltimore, yeah. What about Frank Gore? I mentioned him. Jay Ajayi.
Sit, Frank Gore. Ajayi, sit if possible. I don't trust Jay Ajayi. Like, it's funny, I was looking at this earlier, and every single week that he's been there, LeGarrette Blount's carries have gone up. Meanwhile, his have gone down every single week. Yeah. There's something there, I'm telling you. They didn't make that trade for nothing, but I have a feeling there's something with his knees. I don't know what, but I don't know. They don't want to use him. And Corey Clement's not going away either. So, yeah, he's my number 40 running back this week.
Danny Woodhead, PPR, Danny Woodhead, standard.
Woodhead, start, PPR, sit in standard, I guess.
It's close, but yeah, I'm sitting him in standard. And then Bilal Powell.
Sit. Yeah, Matt Forte has been getting more touches.
Let's move on over to wide receiver now then, Tags. And who's your start of the week there?
I have two for us. My favorite one is Marquise Lee. There's a lot
Me too, baby.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people leaving Lee on their bench after his disappointing one catch, 13-yard performance. But you definitely should not be one of them. When you're matched up with Patrick Peterson, a lot of guys are going to struggle. You're going to see it this week with Sammy Watkins. But with that being said, the Colts are a team to target with wide receivers, especially learning that they're going to be without Rashawn Melvin for a bit. Because if you guys forgot, Vontae Davis was someone they cut. They lost their starting free safety, Malik Hooker. There is literally no reason not to like this matchup for Marquise Lee. I mean, the only way that he doesn't produce is if Leonard Fournette is going nuclear and the Jags throw the ball like 15 times. That's the only way that Marquise Lee doesn't finish with top 36 numbers.
I want to piggyback off this one really quick before we get to your second one. I mean, I know Lee gave you nothing last week, but you had to be crazy to start him against Patrick Peterson. Like, I'm not sure, why were you expecting more than 13 yards against that freak of nature, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the matter of the fact is Marquise Lee has at least 45 receiving yards in each of the last six games. I mean, nobody does that. And that's his floor this week against the Colts. So I'll take that in a handful of receptions any day. He's a must start.
Yeah, for sure. I love him this week. I also love Josh Doctson. He's playing tomorrow night against the Cowboys. And this is, you know, looking at him over the last month, he really should have been bad. Josh Doctson faced Richard Sherman, Xavier Rhodes, Marshawn Lattimore, Janoris Jenkins. Those were the list of cornerbacks that he played over the last month, yet he was able to keep his fantasy numbers afloat, 59 yards or a touchdown in three of the last four games. This is the first matchup since being promoted to full-time where he won't have a shutdown cornerback glued to him. And in fact, the Cowboys are shuffling around their secondary. They benched Anthony Brown. So he's going to see a mixture of Jordan Lewis, their other safe starting corner who's done well, Chidobe Awuzie, and Ben Wickery in the slot. So there's there's not much to dislike about Doctson this week. We've been waiting for like a breakout game, and this could be that one.
Yeah, I've got Doctson all the way up at number 21. So he's a wide receiver two for me.
Nice. Yeah, I have him. I want to say I had him at wide receiver 23. I have him at. So we're both high on him.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Doctson, man. He is going to be, I won't say he's going to be a star. Like, he's not an elite wide receiver, but I think he's going to be a wide receiver one next year. Like, him and Davante Adams, I'm going to own both of them in every single league next year. Davante Adams with Aaron Rodgers, man, I'll tell you, I would take Davante Adams in the second round next year. I'm not going to have to, but I would.
Well, Davante Adams, like, he might have to. I mean, if Jordy retires, that's possible. But the thing is to watch with Davante Adams is he's supposed to be a free agent at the end of the year, so that's getting, it's really interesting, unless I'm missing something there, but I'm positive he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. But yeah, you're starting Davante Adams every single week. He's like someone that he just keeps getting better, right? And now he's playing well with Brett Hundley. We've seen the worst of Brett Hundley, but he's made him look good on a few plays. So Davante Adams is definitely going to be somebody who's going to be drafted in the top two or three rounds next year. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, Tags, let's go sit of the week here. Then we'll do the lightning round again. I like that. I'm really not sure why anyone besides like Antonio Brown would be a start against the Jags, right? I mean, maybe that's an overreaction, but T.Y. Hilton isn't even close for me. He's got fewer than 30 yards in five of his last 6 weeks. And I mean, of course he has big play potential, but not against Jalen Ramsey and AJ Bouye.
That's true. He's scored 2.7 or less fantasy points in five of his last six games. It's quite ridiculous what T.Y. Hilton has kind of gone through this year, and it's because Jacoby Brissett and him just don't mesh well. It's just not a pair. It's not a match made in heaven. So knowing it's the Jags, yeah, I'm with you. I have T.Y. Hilton way down near number 40 wide receiver this week because there's always that possibility that he breaks off that one big play. That's what you're hoping for if you start him. But yeah. In that same range, I have Sammy Watkins. It's the same reason. You don't ever chase a matchup with Patrick Peterson. And now that we know that Robert Woods isn't going to play, Sammy Watkins is going to receive Patrick Peterson all day.
Why? Why don't they put him on Cooper Kupp, man? Cooper Kupp's the guy. Like, just let Sammy Watkins have a good matchup for once, please.
Because Patrick Peterson doesn't really go in the slot all that often.
Well, he should. He should to help me.
Help me help you. I don't know if this helps sucks. Or hurts my Amari Cooper points per game because he's not going to play. But Sammy hopefully doesn't do too much.
It helps. It definitely helps. It's good for you that Amari Cooper is not playing because Sammy Watkins is going to have to score like 7 points per game the rest of the season. I'm looking at his matchups. It's not happening, man. It's just not.
Yeah. Is there anybody that you, oh wait, so you had T.Y. Hilton, I had Sammy Watkins as a sit. So we were both on the same page there.
Yeah. What do you think about Josh Gordon?
I would really prefer to wait a week. And on top of that, it's a matchup against the Chargers. The Chargers are not a matchup.
Is Hayward going to guard him or Corey Coleman?
I thought about that, and it's something I would, if I were to guess with anything, I would say it's Coleman. And me as a coach, I would put him on Coleman because, again, this is Josh Gordon's first game back in a few years. He hasn't had any time to build chemistry with DeShone Kizer. We've seen him on the wrong page with a lot of different wide receivers. So, I mean, it's possible that Hayward just plays one side and he sees both of them. That's definitely possible. But, yeah, I have him at number 46. I would rather start someone like Jordy Nelson over him. I mean, I don't want to play him if I can help it.
Here's the thing about Gordon. Like, I think of him as the ultimate boomer bust play, right? Like, we have never seen a boomer bust like this. You talk about Martavis Bryant as a boomer bust, and he's probably startable in the flex this week, even against Cincinnati, just because he could go 2 receptions for 80 yards and a touchdown. Josh Gordon, I would give it more than a 50% chance he gets you 3 or fewer fantasy points this week. But there's also a 20% chance he gets like 20, right? So
I don't think he has that upside, though.
You don't? I really think that he does. I mean, we have no idea. We've seen him go 1,600 yards before.
Well, right.
Now he's healthy.
If he was going against the Packers, I'd say it's a possibility, which is next week, by the way. All I want to see this week is him be on the field for snaps, him catch a few passes, seem to be on somewhat of the same page with DeShone Kizer. But I'm telling you, Casey Hayward, outside of him, Trevor Williams has played really, really good for them this year. He's their other cornerback.
Yeah.
This is just, again, the Chargers defense has been legit. He has no time, so he's not going to be throwing too many deep balls against his Chargers pass rush. So again, this is my advice to you. If you own Josh Gordon, sit him this week. The worst thing that could happen to you is that he goes off and you still have him on your team to play against the Packers next week. The best thing that happens is that you just get to sit back and enjoy Josh Gordon playing football again. And if he busts, so be it. Then you have to make the decision again next week, which is a much better.
No, you don't get to make the decision next week because if he busts, if he goes for 20 points and you lose your game, you're not in the playoffs.
Well, right. If you're hinging your playoff dreams on Josh Gordon, you have bigger problems.
Okay, yeah. Here's the really sucky thing is in my really important league, I've got Josh Gordon and I'm going to get a bye, so I don't get to use him next week against the Packers. I'm not starting him this week. You're right. But then he comes back for week 15, a really important game in the semifinals, and it's the Ravens. Like, I'm probably not starting him then either.
Well, against the Ravens, they've started to show some signs that they can be thrown on. So, I mean, I wouldn't give up on that. Again, we've seen Devontae Adams and both DeAndre Hopkins the last 2 weeks against them go for 100 yards. So I wouldn't run from that matchup just yet.
Okay. Now, lightning round here, Tags. Teddy Ginn.
10 gets a start.
Yep, he has a start for me, even against Carolina. They're just throwing the ball so much.
Yep, they got beat deep by Robbie Anderson a couple times last week. Jermaine Kearse put up 105 yards and a touchdown. Like, there's not much to dislike there. They don't allow much to the ground game. A lot of people are going to want to play Ingram, Kamara, but this is a week for the passing game. I think Breeze goes for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns.
What about Mohamed Sanu against Minnesota?
I'm okay with that matchup. He matches up with Terrence Newman in the slot. Newman is he's 39 years old. He's not the most agile player anymore. And when you have Xavier Rhodes shadowing Julio Jones, you know, they're going to try and look other ways.
You know, I really like Sanu. I don't think people realize just how good he is because he's overshadowed by Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. Like, if he was the number one on an offense, I think he'd be better than Terrell Pryor was last year, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, Terrell Pryor, I think we've seen who Terrell Pryor is. And, you know, a lot of people said that it was because of the quarterback that was throwing him the targets, but it took him 140 targets to finish as a top 20 wide receiver. And he wasn't like lights out or anything like that. He was just,
yeah,
he was a guy. That's basically what he is. So yeah, I'd say Sanu's a better receiver for sure.
Now, I'm seeing Sterling Shepard at ECR number 31. That has to be because we're not sure that he's going to play, right? Because if he plays, he's a top 15 guy maybe, right?
If I don't have him in my rankings right now, just because like I'm playing it safe. I'm not expecting him to play as of this moment. But the fact that he, the migraines, the word came out today that he hasn't been experienced them, so he should be okay. So it might be time to put him in your lineup, but there's risk that comes with that as well. Again, don't underestimate what Eli Manning can do for a wide receiver. Not every quarterback can make a number one fantasy receiver. Like, that's just the sad case. That's the sad truth of it. Like, we saw DeAndre Hopkins last year, so bad. And like that, he's obviously a top four wide receiver in the NFL. And he struggled last year.
Great.
Yeah. So like when you consider all these factors, not every quarterback can do that. And Geno Smith, I don't know if he's good enough to make that happen. He's never played with Sterling Shepard. So there's concern there. It's Geno Smith's first game in a long time. There's concern. The matchup is fantastic against Oakland, even though their best cornerback is probably TJ Carey, and he's the one who covers the slot. So, I mean, if Sterling Shepard plays, he's going to be in my top 30, but I don't know if I would say he's a must play.
Now, the most frustrating person in fantasy football history, Corey Davis.
I knew it was coming. I knew that question was coming. I'm starting it myself. It's funny. I have a must-win
game.
Me
too.
A must-win game, and it's funny because I'm going to have the decision between him and Juju Smith-Schuster, and Juju doesn't play until primetime, so I'm not going to have any news on that, whether or not he's going to play, well, most likely not, before this. So I'm going to play Corey Davis. Again, I mentioned Houston and how much they've been bleeding fantasy points. In four of their last five games, they've allowed multiple touchdown passes to a player. Like, there's so much, like, to one player. They've allowed multiple touchdown passes to one player, like one pass catcher, in four of their last five games, which is ridiculous. So
that's nuts.
Corey Davis, I mean, I know he didn't perform like we hoped last week. He only saw four targets. They only threw the ball, I think, 25 times. So in this matchup, they're not going to be able to run the ball in Houston. I do expect Corey Davis to hopefully have that breakout game. And if not, then I owe everybody a sorry.
Me too. And I've got him in my top 25 again this week. I've been burned by it. But I mean, you watch the kid play. He's clearly extremely talented. It's a good matchup. I'm putting my eggs back in the Corey Davis basket, and it hurts. It could burn me, but I believe in his talent. I'd start him over Juju, even if I knew Juju was playing against Cincinnati.
Well, I mean, I think it would have been closer than most people wanted to admit. But yeah, I'm taking my chances on Corey this week. It's just like we've gotten this far. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, Rishard Matthews.
He's someone that I would play as well. He's right next to Corey Davis, where it's like, I don't know which of the two I prefer. I would usually say it's Rishard Matthews at this point, but knowing that he's got a risk of re-injuring that hamstring that caused him to miss last week, that's the concern. So I have Davis just a couple spots higher.
Richardson's a flex for me. He's a wide receiver four. Starter sit Jeremy Maclin.
I mean, it's a matchup that you're supposed to want to start him. It doesn't feel good right now.
One reception for 6 yards last week against Houston. Only receiver on the team.
Yep. And then the Packers game that I said he was a must start. Mike Wallace lined up in the slot for one of the plays, which is where Maclin always goes, which is why I wanted the matchup. And Mike Wallace scored a touchdown out of the slot, and Maclin didn't do anything against the Packers. So I'm a little salty with Jeremy Maclin right now, but it's a good matchup.
I'm convinced that the top 10 most accurate experts this year, because this year has just been nuts, are just flipping coins at this point. Like, how are they predicting that Jeremy Maclin's going to go one reception for 6 yards against Houston?
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, Sean Corner, obviously, he's not flipping coins. He just like has a crystal ball or something, or he's a time traveler. But everyone else, I think they're flipping coins.
Yeah, it's really tough. It doesn't make any sense. But again, this week, Darius Slay is going to match up with Mike Wallace. And that means that Jeremy Maclin will match up in the slot with Quandre Diggs. And it's an above average matchup. So again, if you have Maclin, it's hard not to start him.
Okay, let's go three more here really quick. Jermaine Kearse, Kenny Stills at Denver. And then we'll go with Zay Jones against the Patriots. I mean, he can levitate, so I'm pretty sure he's like the number one wide receiver, right?
I would say Kenny Stills are those options, just because Denver, again, nobody seems to know this, but Denver has allowed the most passing touchdowns in the NFL. And I want to say that there's no team even within within two touchdowns anymore. I think that they've allowed 24 touchdowns, and the next closest is 22. So yeah, they're allowing tons of touchdowns. They're going to be without Aqib Talib, their number one cornerback on the perimeter. So that's where Kenny Stills plays. I mean, I know Jay Cutler's back, so it's going to benefit Devontae Parker, which, by the way, he's in wide receiver three territory this week, but I'd say Stills.
Yeah, Parker is he's a wide receiver two for me this week. Anytime Jay Cutler plays, Devontae Parker's a wide receiver two. And if it was Matt Moore, Stills would be a must start. With Cutler playing, Stills is a must sit, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Stills, he's so efficient. And I just wish, it's funny. He went from New Orleans being so efficient, then he came to Miami and he's still efficient, but he hadn't been getting the targets. But as of late, he's been seeing plenty of targets. So I have him just outside the wide receiver three territory.
You don't like Zay Jones? I mean, he's been doing it the past 3 weeks, man.
He's been doing it on volume. But at the same time, he's going to see Malcolm Butler, Stephon Gilmore in this matchup. And that's ugly, especially for a wide receiver who's been as inefficient as he's been.
I guess we should probably mention a few more guys. Dontrell Inman, I think, is in play against San Francisco. Yeah. And Dede Westbrook, I mean, I know Hearns is coming back, but Dede Westbrook was getting a ton of targets. He gets Indianapolis this week. And then Jordy Nelson, as you mentioned, is on your radar to start. He's ECR number 52. I'd still start him against Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa has allowed 18 wide receivers to finish his top 24 options. Again, we've played 11 games. They've allowed 18 wide receivers to finish his top 24 options. It's kind of ridiculous. So yeah. I do think that Jordy, if there's one game, honestly, if you're not going to use him here, bench him. Just might as well throw him back into the player pool because you're never going to use him again. It's probably the best matchup he'll have for the rest of the season. Dontrell Inman, I do believe, is a start. I think he's a semi-safe wide receiver for this week against San Francisco. Not like a sky high ceiling, but I think he's a safe wide receiver three, wide receiver four play. Somebody that would be in the conversation if I had to choose between Watkins and Inman, I might play it safe and go Inman.
Okay, Tex, let's go tight end here. Who's your start of the week and state of the week? We'll go a little faster on tight end since there's usually just not too much to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if people are not trusting Hunter Henry, but he's a must play. So is Jared Cook. Those two are top six plays for me. But one outside of everybody's range is Eric Ebron. He's now caught four passes in each of the last two games. That's something he hadn't done all year. So we're seeing progress. He's also totaled at least 34 yards in each of the last five games. And while that might not sound like much, it's something for the tight end position. The Ravens allow the seventh most fantasy points per target to tight ends this season. They just haven't seen a whole lot of targets. So if Ebron's starting to get more targets, and if I think that Matthew Stafford is going to have to throw the ball in this matchup, 40 plus times, I think Ebron gets there, and I think that he can make for a solid streaming option.
Okay. I have Ebron number 20, so I'll be curious to see that. I've actually got, you're going to hate this, I've got Ricky Seals-Jones number 19, one spot higher.
I have Seals-Jones at 19 as well.
I mean, even if he plays five plays, he's probably going to score four touchdowns.
Probably.
Right?
also, I want to mention that Jason Witten's a fantastic start.
Oh, yep. That's my start of the week, nice, baby. Nice. I'm Jason Witten, two of the last 3 weeks, he has seven receptions since Zeke went out. So, this is a really good play. Washington's been dreadful against tight ends. So I think Jason Witten is a pretty safe start.
Yep.
Let me ask you this, Tags, okay? Because I can't make up my mind. For the life of me, it's a really important game. I've got Greg Olsen and Jordan Reed. Do I have to stream Austin Hooper or can I start one of these guys?
I don't think that Greg Olsen's going to play. I also don't think Jordan Reed's going to play. Jordan Reed, his game's on Thursday, so we'll find that out very soon. But Jay Gruden said on, I think Monday, he said that he doesn't know when to expect him back, basically. So I think I would start Charles Clay over Jordan Reed this week.
Okay. Now, my sit of the week is Tyler Kroft. I mean, he's been a touchdown or bust guy all season. And you might be encouraged because he's now gotten in the end zone two straight weeks. But I'll tell you what, I'm hoping my opponents choose to overlook the fact that he's got just eight receptions in the past 4 weeks, including three straight games now with fewer than 15 yards. So please don't start Tyler Kroft.
I would agree with you. Tyler Kroft is funny. The Steelers have only allowed two touchdowns to tight ends this year, and one of them was to Kroft, but he only had 23 yards in that game. As you mentioned, he's not getting the receptions. He's not getting very many targets. This seems to be it's going to be a low, grinded out game. I don't think that there's going to be a lot of scoring in the Steelers-Bengals game. It's a divisional game. They know each other really well. But again, the Steelers have only allowed two top 12 performances this year. And again, tight ends had to score in both those matchups. And even if he scores, it kind of leaves you feeling empty like it has the last 2 weeks in great matchups that he's had. He's had really good matchups and he scored touchdowns in both of them, but his yardage has been just too small where it's just too much risk to take on. I have guys like Ben Watson and Julius Demarius Thomas in front of him this week.
I'll tell you what, if he scores, I'm not feeling empty. I feel happy if I win my game, no matter what. There's no moral victories in fantasy football tags.
No, I mean, like, let's pretend he scores a touchdown, and then he scores a touchdown and he catches 13 yards. Like, you have seven.
I'll take that.
I don't think that's something that – I don't think it's worth the risk that you're taking by starting him to have the potential of 7.3 points. That's basically what it is. It's the risk-reward thing, where it's like, I don't think the reward's big enough for the risk.
Yep, I agree. I think there's probably a better chance that Mercedes Lewis scores another touchdown than Tyler Kroft this week.
It's actually quite true against Indianapolis.
Yeah. All right, Tag, so who's your sit of the week at tight end, and we'll go bold predictions.
My sit of the week, it was actually Tyler Kroft as well. So you and I are in sync there. There's a lot of tight ends that kind of fall into that range. Like, I don't want to play Austin Hooper this week either. OJ Howard and Cameron Brate, it's so weird. Just so you guys know, a lot of people are wondering if, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick, if he just favors OJ Howard, if he just doesn't like Cameron Brate, whatever the reason. But we know that OJ Howard had been playing more snaps than Cameron Brate because he'd been doing a lot of the blocking. Last week, OJ Howard actually ran 6 more pass routes than Cameron Brate, which was the first time that's happened all season. So there might be a change taking place in Tampa Bay.
I think they should just play both of them. They're both quality wide receivers. I mean, I know they're tight ends, but they receive the ball too.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's the thing, OJ Howard, he hasn't played extremely well this year, but when he's been called upon in the passing game, he's done a good job.
All right, bold prediction time. I think Tags has 2. I have 2 for you, and I'll start. I think Tyreek Hill is going to be a top 5 receiver this week. I mean, I know he hasn't been breaking the big plays lately, but he does have 7 receptions in each of his last 2 weeks. And if he keeps getting that type of target share, I think we're going to see him break a big play here or there, maybe 2 of them in a game. So I'm betting it happens this week against the Jags.
I actually love the call. Against the Jets, you mean?
Yes, definitely not against the Jags. Considering, first of all, they don't play the Jags. And second of all, if they did, Tyreek Hill, I don't know if you'd start him.
No. But yeah, I think it's a good point. He's going to match up with Morris Claiborne. He's been shadowing opposing number 1 wide receivers. And as Jeff Ratcliffe talked about in our podcast last week, is that Claiborne struggles with speed. He gets beat over the top a lot. And knowing that he's going to match up in man coverage with Tyreek Hill, the guy who runs a sub 4.3 40, yeah, I'm with that.
With the way Alex Smith's playing lately, just put Tyreek Hill at quarterback, run the wildcat. You know, every once in a while he can hand it off to Kareem Hunt or do the option. Like, just let those two guys touch the ball as often as you can and get the ball out of Alex Smith's hands right now.
Hold on a second. I am going to stand up for Alex Smith. There's too many people picking on him. And yes, he's had a bad couple games. This is a guy that was playing like an MV friggin' P.
Yeah, he's ruining the season right now, man.
He's not ruining the season for them. He is not the reason that this team is gone. He was the reason that this team was going anywhere. If you recall, the Chiefs defense was allowing tons of points, tons of passing yards. They still are. That's why they went out and signed Darrell Revis. Like, they're going to fix it with that. Alex Smith is not the problem with this team. I got into this argument. I got into this argument about the Jags and where they should go this offseason. And it's definitely the Jags with Alex Smith. It fits. Alex Smith is the type of quarterback who can manage a game. He can not turn it over. He can do what you ask him to do. And every now and then he will surprise you. He surprised us for the entire first half of the season. But as soon as he has 2 bad games, people are ready to say, oh, this guy sucks. No, he does not suck. He's good. This has been a play calling issue. Talk about Kareem Hunt. So if Kareem Hunt's playing well, he's doing all these things well. Alex Smith was playing like an MVP. I mean, who's the blame on? I don't think it's on either of those guys, but everybody wants to place it on them. So
it has been just 2 weeks, man. You're right. I'm having a really hard time forgiving him after that disaster against the Giants. I know it was really windy, but he killed me in DFS, man.
Well, and that's why I took him out of all my lineups that week. Is like, that's why maybe I'm not so mad at him, because with the winds, when hearing it was 25 plus mile an hour winds, I'm out. I dropped him out and I ended up playing someone else. But I'm just saying, like, that game, I gave him an excuse for. He played a bad game last week, yes. But there's a lot of this going on, the play calling and the ability. Like, teams are just catching on to what the Chiefs have done. They did it last year, too. Alex Smith is still a former number one quarterback. And he's not someone that I loved before the season. I felt like he was an adequate quarterback. He won me over this year. Like, he played MVP football. Like, that team would have been nowhere with him. And if people think that Patrick Mahomes is going to walk in and do wonders with what Alex Smith has done with that team, they're dead wrong.
Tell me this. Can the Chiefs still win the Super Bowl? Do they have enough talent?
No, their defense isn't good enough.
Okay. Yeah, I think I agree with you. I mean, if I had to pick a team to win the Super Bowl out of that division, I think it's the Chargers. They're playing great football right now, man. Got an amazing pass rush, which works really well in the playoffs. They've got Casey Hayward, who can shut down anyone. Phillip Rivers is playing great football. Mm-hmm. Keenan Allen is unstoppable right now, man. I think the Chargers have a chance. I'm not saying like more than 5%, but you know, there's only 10 teams that I think could win the Super Bowl right now, and I think the Chargers are one of them. I don't think the Chiefs are.
Yeah, I actually agree with you in the Chargers. I think they're an excellent dark horse team, and the reason is because they don't really have too many weaknesses. Like, they've been stopping the run a lot better as of late. They have a good secondary. They have great pass rushers, and then you go into the offense. Phillip Rivers, nobody seems to know this, but Phillip Rivers has been sacked the lowest percent of any quarterback in the league this year. Minnesota is the next closest team, but their offensive line is doing work. They have great receivers. They have an awesome run game. Austin Ekeler is contributing. Like, they really don't have a lot of holes. So yeah, the Chargers are a solid dark horse here.
We need to pull up that clip in the preseason where I said the Chargers were going to have a top five offensive line. And you and the guest, I don't remember who it was. I think it was Jeff Ratcliffe. If it's not, sorry, Jeff, but whoever it was, you guys laughed at me so hard and said there's no way they're top 16. Chargers offensive line has been really good this year.
They've been so good. And I do remember that. And then because you're like, once it came out, I was like regretting it. But as it turned out to be like one of the hottest, like the best hot takes of the season.
We should have made that a bet, man. We should have done that as a combine bet. Let's go back and do that.
No, I'm good.
Okay, so what's your first bold prediction for us?
My first one, I'll do the lighter one, and that it's my big receiver for the week. You know, we did it with Antonio Brown 2 weeks ago. We did it with Julio last week. This week, it's Mike Evans against the Packers. Mike Evans. They don't have an answer. And Mike Evans has been seeing the targets. He hasn't scored a touchdown, I think, since week 6. It's been a long time coming, and he is the type of player to score multiple touchdowns in a game. The Packers have now allowed 8 100-yard games against them. They've also allowed 3 wide receivers to have multiple touchdowns in a game. I think this is Mike Evans' 100-plus yard, 2-touchdown breakout.
So you're not going 250 like Julio Jones last week?
No, I'm not gonna go that far. I don't think he's
not bold enough, dude.
I don't think he's talented enough.
All right, here's my last one. 5 rookie running backs are going to get over 100 yards this week. Alvin Kamara is a lock at this point. Like, even if he gets 5 carries, right? I mean, Alvin Kamara is just nuts right now. I'm not talking about 100 rushing yards, by the way. I'm talking
total yards.
Yep. I think Jamal Williams and Samaje Perine do it again in 2 nice matchups. Then I've got Leonard Fournette getting back on the horse, and Joe Mixon picking up where he left off last week when he went for 165 against Cleveland. I know the Steelers have been playing a lot better football against the run, but Joe Mixon, now that he's getting 20 carries per game, I'm on board, man.
Yeah. No, Joe Mixon, the talent was always there. And that was actually an argument that 2 guys had my mentions on Twitter this week. Someone was saying that Kareem Hunt, you know, he's struggling, but yeah, I'd still take him over Mixon. Basically, these guys were arguing about who was better, Hunt or Mixon. I still stand by Mixon. I say that Mixon's the better talent. I've said that all along. I would have drafted him first in dynasty leagues, and I'm not backing off that.
Over Corey Davis?
No, I'm talking about running back talent, Kareem Hunt or Joe Mixon. Like, which one was more talented? And for me, it's Joe Mixon. I think he's going to be a top 5 running back in this league once the Bengals.
Once Marvin Lewis leaves the NFL forever.
That's going to help. And the fact, I mean, if they actually do get an offensive line in front of him that can block, that'll help too.
All right, Tags, finish it off. One last bold prediction. Make it a good one, man.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Johnny Holton. And there's probably a lot of people out there like, who's Johnny Holton? He is a wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders. Johnny Holton goes for 60 yards and a touchdown this week. And this is a guy who's available in 99.5% of leagues, I'm sure. But he's a burner. And this Giants defense has been burned by speed all year long. We saw Brandon Cooks the other day. There's so many holes in that team, but they really struggle with speed. And Johnny Holton, by the way, like, if you haven't looked at his numbers that he's posted this year with Derek Carr, they've been so good on minimal targets. He's going off. He's basically catching a long ball every game. So against the Giants, I think it happens.
Wow. I mean, he's number 81 ECR. So that is super bold. I'm glad we let you go last. I mean, guys ahead of him, Tavarius King, Cole Beasley, Kendall Wright, Keelan Cole, Deontay Thompson. That's bold, buddy.
Yeah, I thought I'd pull that one out there. I do think that, like, if you're like in desperate and you're in a deep league and you're like trying to find someone to start, I think he can do it.
Cool, man. All right, well, that's all for the show. And I want to say thanks to the sponsor of today's show, SeatGeek. Download their app now, enter the promo code FANTASYPROS, that's all one word, FANTASYPROS, and you'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek ticket purchase. And also, remember, we've got the giveaway going on for our Hall of Fame package upgrade. Just send us a screenshot of your review and subscription on iTunes at contest@fantasypros.com. We're going to draw a name next week. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football.
I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.